Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
Thank you. Together in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 So my dad passed, and it's kind of a big deal. And to me, and I don't know, I know a lot of people here had a lot of different relationships with their dad, and I had some challenging moment. I had a great father. He was great to me and to my three brothers. Some of you know that I went through a very, very painful conclusion to the ministry that I've been part of for a whole long time and had actually started, my wife and I. And for some reason, that separation caused some real separation with me and one of my brothers and with my dad. And some of you guys who've been here around here for a while will remember that there was a couple years went by that I wasn't really talking to my dad. And it was really, really difficult for me. And there were times where I stood right here in this room and said, I feel convicted. I need to go talk to someone. I said at one point, then another point later on, I said, I need to go talk to my dad. You all need to pray for me. And I'm going to say more about it in this message, the good things that the Lord did in toward the end of his life that I'm very, very grateful for. Both Chuck and Bobby strongly encouraged me to get that to the best possible place I could, and I'm so thankful now that I did. And but I got thinking of this. I think everybody knows that the 12 steps, the first step, anybody want to give me the first step? Come on, who's got the first step?
We admitted we were powerless over our thought, otherwise we'd become unmanageable.
Good, good. Chuck, you got number two?
Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity.
Yeah, no, I came to believe that a power greater than us can restore us to sanity. Everybody, hands up if you've heard that. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Came to believe that. But what power? And I spent a lot of years, candidly, I was the guy who was off. I spent a lot of years thinking, well, what do you mean a power? Some vague power. But I had a lot to learn. And I've learned from Bobby and I've learned from Chuck. I know some people think, how did you find two friends with the exact same voice?
Yeah.
Well, just it's a special thing. But I've learned a lot from them, and I was very, very broken when we started doing the work that we're doing now. And what I've come to understand is, and I want you to hear this from me, regardless of where you are at on understanding that faith, you are only under pressure to expose yourself to the things that we believe, and you can accept them or reject them. It wouldn't matter anyway. You know, faith can't be coerced, right? Can't be coerced, can't be forced on you. And but we want to be able to share openly with you, and we want you to have, you know, the freedom of knowing that this is not something that's pressured on you. A lot of people follow the Lord because their parents did. And now that my grandmother, who had a big impact on me, has passed, my mother, who had a huge impact on me, passed in 2010, and now my father, who had a very, very significant impact on me and my faith, he's passed. And I found myself thinking, because it took some time to myself, I found myself thinking a lot about, was this something my dad gave me, or was this my thing? Is this my thing, or is this something that somebody else gave me? Have I really, because there is a certain amount, how many people have felt pressure from family members to believe something, right? So, but that's not really awesome, right? Because it has to be yours. I mean, when I've been preaching, I've said many times, your grandma can't give this to you. You can't get this from your sister or your mom. You got to kind of embrace it for yourself. And so I just thought, you know, I wanted to share some things that I thought would encourage you guys tonight, and when I say you guys, I mean everybody, but I'm thinking about these men that we're spending ourselves to help in more ways than you. All you guys are in the house, you don't really probably even fully understand how much we're giving ourselves to create this environment so you can have the best possible opportunity to live free from addiction and get back to your families in strength. So just sitting down today, and I was thinking about why is it actually that, like, I have been through a lot. People that know me, people that know that I was a pastor, some of them can't believe what my wife and I and our family has endured, and all of the awful things that have been said and done about us and how we've tried to deal with that. I found myself thinking, why do I really love the Lord? Because I do. I still believe God's word, even with everything I've been through, and I still love the Lord so much, in certain ways more than ever. And so this was so easy for me. I just wrote down from Psalm 103, just six things, and I'm going to read them to you pretty fast, and they'll be on the screen if that's helpful to you. There's one passage, I think it's in Psalm 116, that says, I love the Lord because he heard my voice, and because he hearkened his ear unto my cry. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. If you've never had a prayer answered, if you've never cried out to the Lord, God doesn't answer, in my experience, God doesn't answer, you know, prayers that you throw over your shoulder like a piece of something headed for the trash can. But focused, fervent, earnest, faith-filled prayer out loud, I've seen God do incredible things with that kind of focused prayer. Very few people actually do that. I wish that I had done it more. But why do I love the Lord? Because he heard my voice, yes. But here in Psalm 103, I just want to read a little section to you, and then I'm going to go through it, and then we're going to have some refreshments and enjoy hanging out together. Psalm 103 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. You know you have a soul, right? Go ahead and take a hold of your arm here like this. Everybody just take hold of yourself. Feel yourself physically, okay? Hold on to your arm or something. Okay, this part of you right here, that's not all of you. You don't have hold of the whole thing, all right? That's the physical part of you that won't live forever. But inside that man is a soul. And that soul can become a living spirit through faith in Christ. And that's the part of you that will live forever. And even if you don't come to faith in Christ, that part of you will still live forever, separated from Christ. But there is a part of you that isn't this person. There's a part of you that's your soul. And so when he says to himself, bless the Lord, O my soul, he's calling upon the non-physical part of him. It's the part of us that was, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that God created man and then God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living spirit. All right? That's not talking about the physical part of him. It's talking about his soul. And so when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He's calling upon the non-material part of himself to bless the Lord. Then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's a great thing, right? Man, why are you so fired up about the Lord? Well, let me just tell you, there's some serious bennies involved, okay? The perks to real faith are incalculable, all right? And I'd like to review some of them with you, but not, again, what I think, but right out of this scripture, he does what he said he was going to do. He says, I'm going to bless the Lord. Come on, soul, let's bless the Lord. Come on, soul, what are the benefits of faith in the Lord? And he's like, I'm going to enumerate them. And here they come. This is such a great little outline that I made this just for you. I've never even preached on this before, but I just love what's here. Forget not all his benefits. Start with this, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquity. Okay? Who forgives all your iniquity. Who forgives all your iniquity. I mean, how does that sound? How many times have you been to a place because of addiction, because of rebellion, because of stubbornness? How many times have you been to a place in your life, I'm with you, where you're like, man, if I could just know right now that I could start over, if I could just know that the slate could be wiped clean, if I could just know that I could begin now with the lessons I've learned and go forward from here, that's an awesome benefit of faith in the Lord. This is the promise that he makes to every one of his children. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as have received him, to those he's given the authority to be called the children of God. You can't just say, well, I'm one of God's children. But if you have put your faith in Christ, you have the authority to say, I'm one of his children. And to his children, he gives complete, total, immediate, unilateral forgiveness. Complete to the full extent, all right? unilateral, every situation, every regret, every everything. There's nothing that isn't included in this. Now, I used to wonder about, well, if he really forgives, one of the scriptures says that he has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Where's that? Right. No place you could, no place you could find. God's put our sin in a place that you can't get to. Another metaphor, he has put our sins in the depth of the deepest sea. I'm like, yeah, but he could still go get it. He could still go. Well, that's true. That's true. So this is what's really awesome about this. God does better than those pictures even. Because God couldn't forget. You don't think God forget what you did, right? You think God forgets?
No.
He doesn't forget. He's like, if my mom would forget, that would be great. If my wife would forget, that would be great. People hardly ever forget. God can't forget.
That's right.
He does something way better than that. For example, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, our sins he will remember no more. Now, if I told you right now, please don't do this, but if I said to you, why don't you go right now mentally and start thinking about the people that have wronged you? How many people? Hands up if you could do that. Now, don't do it, but hands up if you could do it. You could think of some people that have wronged you. Could you think of some? All right. So we do have control of our minds. We can choose to think about some things. We can choose to think about other things, but we don't. How many people would agree we don't have perfect control? God has perfect control of what he thinks about, and he chooses, even better than those metaphors, he chooses to remember it no more. When he looks at us, he does not call it to mind. When he sees us, he's not thinking about the things that we wish like anything we could go back and do over. So that's an awesome, awesome thing about loving the Lord, why I love the Lord. It's not because my mom and dad taught me to. I mean, maybe I was at that place at one point, but I've gone a lot further down the road into the benefits. And the first one is that he gives forgiveness. Here's the second one. He gives healing. This passage in Psalm 103 says, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. That's quite a remarkable promise. Some people have never seen a healing. I've seen quite a few healings and prayed for people to be healed. Probably the most well-known one in my life was our second son, Landon, who's a pastor at a wonderful church now in Phoenix. And when he was born, he had what's called a diaphragmatic hernia, which basically means that his diaphragm didn't form. And so literally in the first 24 hours, they became, I remember he was pretty blue when he came out and his breath wasn't really solving it. I asked about it. They said he'll be fine. But it turned out he wasn't going to be fine. And his all of his intestines were up in this side of his chest, and his heart was over here, and then over here was a little lung that they called a node, and then over here was a lung that had, you know, if you ever look at an x-ray, they have the squiggly lines where the oxygen is in your lungs. I mean, there really wasn't much there. He was living, breathing on maybe a third of one lung. Something like 85% of all the kids born with this die within the first, you know, 48 hours. If they do make it, they're in newborn intensive care for, you know, up to a year. And I could go on and tell about that story at length, but I'll just say that I'll never, ever, ever forget. I could get in my car and drive to it right now in Des Plaines, where we were standing in the newborn intensive care unit. And I'm so glad you guys are here, because we have two seats right here. And you know, when you get in a little later, it's not a problem. Everybody welcome our newcomers. How you doing, bro? Nice to see you. Go ahead, take a seat. How are you? Good to see you, Eric. All right. Glad you're here. So I could go right to Des Plaines, to the newborn intensive care where he was, and I was standing there with the doctor. The doctor was an Indian man, and his name was Dr. J, like J-A-E. And he was looking at the x-ray of our little son, Landon, whose chest wasn't as big as my hand. And The doctor looked and he looked and he checked the name and he looked again. And he turns to the intern and he says, because of course they had seen us, right? We were holding hands on your kids laying in what is effectively like a tray, a little plastic tray with a light on them. And we had for 5 or 6 days, we told all of our friends all over the country and our church to pray and to pray and to pray for him to be healed. And this was, of course, just about 6 months before we began the church that we gave our lives to. And I feel like God gave us this miracle at this time so that we would have, you know, just that much more faith in him. Well, anyway, so the doctor's looking at the x-ray and he didn't know what to say. And he turns to the intern and he says, what's wrong with this baby? The intern, nobody wants to get the answer wrong with the doctor right there, but he looked and he just didn't know what to say. The doctor said, right, nothing. Boom, and he hit the x-ray with his fist and walked out. Because people don't want to believe. They just don't want to, because there's implications for that. I understand that. A friend of ours we were very close to heard this doctor speaking at a seminar down in Kentucky about 3 months later, and someone asked the question, do you ever see things happen that go beyond the boundaries of medical intervention? And he told the whole story about him there, but somehow in his own context, anyway, it was a miracle. And I could tell you a whole lot more miracles, but I just want to just say this out loud. God heals. Amen. And listen, God heals from alcoholism. I'm not going to stand here and say that I don't really care for the, is it a disease or isn't it a disease? I don't really care for that argument. Here's what I'll tell you. It does involve volition. Volition is my will. It's my ability to choose. Now, if I were to reach out my hand to shake your hand, you did, but you won't. See, it's a choice though, right? It's a choice. He said, well, you told me not to, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Right, Larry? Did you feel yourself choosing? I'm gonna offer my hand again, but I don't want you to shake it. See, you're deciding. That's the part of you that is so real. Now people say, well, if you have a disease, you can't will yourself out of leukemia, and I don't believe you can willpower yourself out of alcoholism. But I want us all to agree that our will is involved, right? We're making choices, aren't we? Didn't we celebrate some great choices that have been made and some milestones that have been reached? So to me, I believe that whatever lacks in me and my volition, God can fill up the rest of that and lead me to healing. I think that blue book boy was on target. I think him putting God right in the start, step two, I think he knew what he was talking about. So part of your search here has to be God as you came to know him. We're here with some guidance, but you're going to make your own decision. We understand that, do you see? But we're unapologetic about the fact that we would like to tell you about someone who's changed our life in a very impactful and lasting way. And right now, we are not forgetting his benefits. Number one, he gives forgiveness. Number two, he gives healing. I've seen it, and I pray it for each person here. He gives hope. The next thing he says is, who redeems your life from the pit. What's the pit? Well, the pit, first of all, is the grave. And then ultimately, it would be separation from God. The grave is as low as you can get. That's why we call the property here, somebody say it.
Rock bottom.
Rock bottom. I was actually did a little search on that today. Did you know that the term hitting rock bottom originated with miners in the 19th century? The phrase indicated that the bedrock of the mining operation had been hit. No way to go lower. And we call the property here rock bottom. One recovery center defines rock bottom as, because of course rock bottom is something that's been adopted now by the whole addiction recovery movement. Complete dependence on a substance. That's rock bottom. Loss of relationship, job, or property because of that substance, or all of the above. Recklessness with legal consequences. Life-threatening events. Those are the elements of rock bottom. And Anybody relate to some of those? The pit, we could call it. I mean, how great is the Lord that he redeems our life from the pit? If this ministry is having any real impact on your life, irrespective of your faith, our faith brought us to you. Our faith and what we experienced in the Lord has motivated us to give ourselves to helping people that when we began, we had never met. Some of you won't ever believe what this room used to be, but we used to call it the place with rats and bats. And how many people are still here? A lot of them have graduated and moved on, but how many people have done some work here on this building here, Rock Bottom, that we're in? Hands up if you've done some work on the place. Ray, I think you did a lot. You should probably put both hands up. But there's a lot of guys that invested their time and energy in making this ministry center, we call it, the place that it is. And so I'm thankful that you can see the Lord using your life in those small ways too. Why I love the Lord, he gives forgiveness. Wow, who doesn't need that? He gives healing. He takes us the distance that we couldn't go ourselves. He gives hope. He redeems our life from the pit. Things can get better. Everybody say, things can get better. Anybody want to say it out loud themselves? Put your hand up if you want to say it yourself. Things can get better.
Things can get better.
Okay, anyone else you want to say it? Go ahead, Mike.
Things can get better.
That's right. Go ahead, Matt.
Things can get better.
Okay, Eric.
Things can get better.
Things can get better. And to believe that, right? And to lean into the brotherhood that's here and to really believe that and to speak that into each other's life. Look, friends of the flesh are a dime a dozen. People who will show up and, you know, lament and well, I told you so, and how come you didn't see this coming? And those people are everywhere, all right? This is not a place of condemnation. This is a place of hope. This is a place of being loved and encouraged and motivated to believe that the darkest days in your life can be in the rearview mirror forever, right? And we believe that, and we're working on that, and we're doing all we can to help you, and we'll be doing more still. I'm very aware of the fact that there are a lot of halfway houses that are like, what? And when I heard about the injustice of that, how people collected rents and didn't give a rip about the people, I just said, we're just going to be the opposite of that. We're just going to find more ways to bless, more ways to give, more ways to encourage. And you're really still here at the beginning of this. We're just getting going into it. And we're so glad you're part of it. I'm so glad I love the Lord who gives forgiveness and healing and hope. And then he gives identity. Notice this, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. This is what God gives to every one of his sons, every one of his daughters. It's like a crown for your head. Steadfast love is the Hebrew word hesed, which means a state of well-being, peace, some people translate it. And then mercy, God crowns your head with mercy. Just think about that. Have you ever felt in your life like you were getting kind of more than you deserved? Kind of like, well, I know a lot of other people that did this, that didn't happen to them, right? I mean, I've definitely had that feeling where, man, I know a lot of people did a lot worse than this, but they didn't get hammered the way I got hammered. And in the Lord, we find mercy. Amen. Mercy. God doesn't give us what we deserve. All in favor of not getting what we deserve?
Right?
Right? I don't want to get what I deserve. And thank God for his mercy. And that becomes our identity. That becomes our identity. I have God's loving kindness and I have God's mercy. And his mercies are new every morning. And I anticipate that, and I look for that, and I live for that. And my father, I want to show you some pictures of my dad. And my father was a farmer. That's my dad. And that would be my dad as a young man. Here's a picture of my dad.
Steelers.
Sorry about that. My dad was a fair weather football fan, But this is him at the seniors' home he lived in. I'll just go, tell you when to go to the next one. So go ahead to this then. He was a big family man. So here's a picture of him with a couple of our granddaughters. And my dad didn't look like that for much of his life. He's really old here. And then, but he's loving our family every day of his life. Here's me up to visit my dad. And I'd get him in my truck and we'd drive around. He'd tell me stories about all the places he liked. I think this was just back in February or March, the last time I was up to see him. And we had a great time together. And then, but what I did was I went at the suggestion of Bobby and Chuck when things were pretty rough with my dad. And mainly because I was really hurt by him. And I didn't a lot of times really need a lot from my parents, but when I came to really need a lot, I felt like they were more disappointed with me than they were there for me. And I had a hard time getting past that. And, you know, these guys were saying to me, look, are you gonna have a relationship with your dad or aren't you? He's not gonna be around here forever. And if you're gonna have a relationship with him, you're probably gonna have to get over some of that and you're gonna have to go start talking to him again. So I literally just went and didn't even talk it all through with him. I just decided to forgive him completely. He's not gonna really ever get it. And I don't want to lose my opportunity with my dad. And I went up to see him probably 6 times after that one time when we made everything square. And last summer, he was here at Rock Bottom. Look at him. That's right, him sitting right there, right where you are. That's him right there. And he loved this place. He thought this was fantastic. And I'm so glad that he got to see that. And look, this is the impact that this place is having on me. And it came from the brotherhood. And they're like, how happy am I here tonight that I followed the counsel of Chuck and Bobby and went and got this handled? Believe me, I am very, very happy. And his memorial service is gonna be in June, on June the 12th. So think of us, there's a brother that'll be there that I still have some things to square up with. But I just wanna say publicly, the potential for the brotherhood in this room to shape each other and challenge each other and call forth the best from and for each other is just immense. And I'm so grateful for it and for you. Just 2 more things and I'll say them quickly. This is a really important one as it relates to addiction. The Lord gives satisfaction. Have you ever noticed that there are things that at one time in your life they satisfied you and then later on they didn't mean as much to you? Have you noticed that? Like a good meal would mean so much to you and then it wouldn't mean very much to you at all. It's a bit of a crazy story, but I was driving home from Ontario where I went up to see my family after my dad passed, and I was driving home from up there in the RV. You guys have seen the RV around here, and I was driving home in the RV, and it's a long drive, a long, lonely drive. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles after we did 900 miles one weekend the weekend before and went 700 miles somewhere else. But I wanted to be up there. But on the way home, when I was not, you can't make good time in an RV. I'm just telling you that right now. This is not like driving in a, you know, some speedy machine. You can't go that fast. And it just goes on, and then I hit a detour, and it's going on and on. By the time I got close to Chicago, I was so upset, I was like, I'm gonna get a pizza. So I thought if Bobby ever found out about this, he'd be so mad. But now I can tell him because it worked out okay. But so I ordered a Pequod's pizza from downtown Chicago. It is the best Chicago pizza. I will not argue that point. And I got off at Orleans, kind of Lake Street, Orleans, drove right through the loop, through the downtown of my RV. You should have seen the looks I was getting. Pulled right up at Pequod's, got the pizza. Now, here's a question. Did I begin to eat it as I drove home or did I wait till I got home? Obviously, it was nearly half gone when I got home. And it tasted really, really good. But I can remember when I was so low and struggling so much that it was hard for me to have satisfaction in almost anything. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where like really nothing moves the dial. Talking to my family, talking to my friends, getting away, watching a great sports game. When you're in the throes of the addiction, we all know nothing moves the dial but that thing, right? Yeah. This is why it's so beautiful to me that it says here about the Lord that he satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Eagles, strong, 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 powerful. And the Lord will allow things that have not meant as much to me to mean more to me, so that things that have meant too much to me will not mean anything at all. Can I say that again? The Lord will allow things that have not meant that much to me, like my brotherhood. I could take it or leave it. So interesting to see the guys come into our houses, you know, like this, like, who are all these freaking people? You know, and if you feel like that, that's okay. It's okay, because I've seen it a lot of times. But over time, how people's hearts soften and how we start loving these people and they start letting you love them. And they start, eventually, they start believing that you really do care about them. And a lot of great things happen after that. And God can satisfy us with good things that we lost sight of when we decided that only one thing was good. And so that we can be strengthened like in our youth. And to me, that's such a beautiful picture. He gives satisfaction. And then the last one is, and I'm done, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And so the point there is that the Lord gives justice. And if you're waiting on the Lord for some justice, so am I. And I can't control it. And I can't make it happen. And I can resolve some of the illegal things that were done to me. That part's going very well, and a lot of it is getting resolved in our favor. But the injustice itself is something that just seems to take so long to come. And all I would say to you about that is, if you have some of those feelings, you're in a room with a bunch of other people who have those feelings too, and we can support and encourage each other about that, because it might be a long time until we see other people come to realize what they had a part in. So I want to close with my observation about, we're 2 years into this now, as Bobby said, and this is the thing that I really want to focus on for the next year.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God, and for loving others, more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.